Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved for various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Well, good morning.
How are y'all doing?
Surprise, surprise. I'm not going to stand up here. I can see your faces, so I guess you can see mine. My name's Kyle Johnson, for those that don't know me. And I've been with Living Acts for a total of 4.5 years so far. And I'm very thankful that I am. And God has really been using this ministry to change my life, and I'm grateful for it. And I had the opportunity today to share something with y'all. Brandon is going through a series about the Holy Spirit, the graces. And this morning, I want to share just a little bit with you about the fellowship of the Spirit. And the fellowship of the Spirit individually and the fellowship of the Spirit collectively. And I really do hope that in these next several minutes that you will be inspired, excited, charged up about this whole thing about the fellowship of God's Spirit. And just let me tell you a little bit about me before we get into the message. Why listen to me? You know, what do I have to say? I was born again when I was 9 years old. And so for 40 years, I've been learning, walking, making mistakes, being involved in different ministries, being involved as a member in different churches of different denominations. In my 40 years at this point, I've experienced a whole spectrum of the body of Christ. And I'm kind of thankful for that. I'm thankful for the things that I've seen and been a part of. And in these 40 years, like I said, there's been different churches that I've been a part of, different ministries that emphasize different parts of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Some of them did a lot of emphasis about the Holy Spirit, and some, of course, believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't emphasized. And so with that, looking past, I've seen, so to say, for my life, like the pendulum has swung back and forth at times. Like one side, let's say, just being, we know there's the Holy Spirit, we know he's in us, we love him, we're thankful for him, but that's about where he is, versus to the side where, hey, man, let's get this thing poured out. Let's see all the gifts, the manifestations, everything. And so for my life, I've seen through the years how God is using everything to bring this pendulum more and more to where it's supposed to be, this real healthy place in God. And so this healthy place in the fellowship of the Spirit for me individually and corporately with the body of Christ, a really good place in God, which involves the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of God's Spirit. Amen? And so that's why I'm going to share a little bit with you, just because I had the opportunity and I kind of want to. So let me give you a quick introduction. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13:11-14, it reads, "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you." Verse 14 says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Amplify puts it like this: may the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together, and the participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's what we're going to look at for a little bit, our actual participation in this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And to jump the gun a little bit, I mean, we're going to look at Romans 12 a little bit. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 a little bit. And I'm hoping that I'm going to either encourage you or maybe challenge you, or because we're going to hit some scriptures that a lot of times aren't hit upon or aren't emphasized, but they're in the Word, and I know there's different camps that talk about this stuff, so each one of us have got to settle in our hearts by faith what we really believe God is saying about some matters, because there is, again, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at how powerful His ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry, has been since the beginning, and how God worked through His Spirit in the Old Testament upon the life of Jesus, in the disciples, on the First Testament church. And I personally believe He has not changed. He's the Lord that does not change. And God has built a people together. He has built an habitation, a dwelling place called His body. And we are the habitation of God in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. We're the habitation of God in the Spirit. Praise God, we're born again. Praise God for the living Word of God that renews our mind, that brings sanctification. And the thing about the Holy Spirit that's exciting is everything that He does is lined up with the living Word. He does nothing. And that's a good thing, and that's a good testing for any of this kind of stuff. Anything that you do not believe is lined up with the Word, bless everything. But move on. The Word is the foundation, forever settled, amen. He exalts His Word above His name. And the Holy Spirit, a pure Holy Spirit ministry, will always confirm the Word of God. So I want to look at for a little bit, what is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Do we actually have it? And we do. If so, what should be going on because of this fellowship? Should we expect more in our gatherings, whether it's Sunday mornings or growth groups or wherever the saints get together? Should we be an expectancy in our hearts, an expectancy in our faith when we come together again, coming together in the fellowship of the Spirit? Should we expect more than maybe what we have had? And what does it look like? What does this fellowship look like for the believers in the church? All right. So let me say a quick prayer. God, I thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for the worship. Thank You, God, that we do worship You and that You inhabit our praise. And Father, I thank You that You sent Your Son, and that Jesus, You're the head of this body. And You, in all of Your wisdom, everything about You, You know how You're building Your people up on the earth. You're building, You have an habitation for Your very self. You have a dwelling place upon the earth. And God, we thank You that we're part of that. And so, Father, I pray that this morning will be just a little bit, maybe more, of helping us grasp what do You want from Your church? The church that You're building, God, the way You want to see Your habitation on the earth performing and participating, Father, that's what we want. So I pray that You enlarge us, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, minister, and that You bless this time. And speak to me, speak through me, and speak to each one of my brothers and sisters. And above all else, Lord Jesus Christ, You be glorified and honored and praised. Amen. All right. So where are we as individuals and as churches? Where are we with this whole fellowship of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit ministry is powerful. It's active. It's real. You look anywhere, Old and New Testament, where the Holy Spirit was ministering and working, something's going on. I mean, we serve the living God, triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know this. They're the same one. And again, whatever the Holy Spirit is about, it's about Jesus, and Jesus is always about the business of the Father. It's all connected together. And his ministry is completely in line with the Word. And we know he does things like he comforts, talking about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, of course, because, you know, some of the names of the Holy Spirit are the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord. He is actually, the Bible says, Christ who dwells in us. And we can't separate them. I just want to make that really clear as I'm talking and emphasizing the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about separation here. And in our minds and in our belief, there's no separation here. They just have distinct ministries. Same God, same everything. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. We actually have God's Spirit in us. We are his body. We are his vessel. He is still on the earth today through his Spirit, through his people. Amen? And so the fellowship of the Holy Spirit hopefully is going to become more and more real to me. I want to get this stuff. I want to get the stuff that I've been studying this week and reading. I want to get this. I want to get it really bad because what I believe, it's exciting. I mean, the church is supposed to be the most dynamic people, so alive in God, you know. I mean, that the praises of him are so real and rich, and that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and to make it all come alive, make it all become so real to us. And so really, it's kind of exciting, yeah. So we know that the Holy Spirit, he comforts, he teaches, he strengthens. We know all that stuff. We know that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We know that. And we know that in Romans it talks about how God's love is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's everywhere because he's the Spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus, and we've been learning through this series through Brandon and Mark, that's why we know that Jesus said, it's important I leave. He said, you want me to go. Because when I leave, I'm coming back to be in you. I'm going to be so in you. And it's a great covenant. It's a great experience in our lives. And hopefully that through this morning that we'll be encouraged more so to expect this union, this such intimate union with the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I mean, this rich, real thing that believers have in the body of Christ. So we know he does all these things, but also, like I said, in a few minutes, we're going to look at he gives gifts to every believer. And I needed a drink. And he also can manifest as he chooses and through whomever he chooses. And this is the stuff we're going to look at in just a little bit that really actually gets exciting. Because when we really understand and we believe it's God the Spirit doing this stuff, it's not about us. It's about us just allowing him to do what he wants to do. And once again, he gives gifts to each one of us. If you're born again, the Spirit's dwelling in you, the exciting thing is you have at least one gift from God. And I want to tell you something. Any gift of God, get this, it's a gift of God. I mean, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? You have a gift of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and he's given you something. And we're going to look at you, what you've been given is for everybody else. And so the fact is, ever since I've been a part of this church, in fact, you that were here from the beginning, this is welcomed here. This is welcomed here. And we were a small church in the small room back there. We had an open mic, and we wanted the body to minister. And so what I'm saying to y'all is what the leadership knows. When you come together, the Bible says everybody has something. And what we've got to learn in this fellowship of the Spirit is there are times he's going to kind of like tap on you. Hey, it's your turn. I want you to say something. I want you to encourage the body. I want you to prophesy. You know what prophecy is, folks? We make it so, some of us, and talk about myself, at different times having to learn some things. You know, I used to think prophecy was this big, major, thus saith the Lord all the time. Prophecy is simply speaking by inspiration. And it can come in a form of a lot. It can come through your praying when you're praying with people. It can come when you're encouraging one another. It can come in the small groups, which it should be. And it can come when you come into the gathering and in a worship service, you really, as you develop your gifting and you get more and more, as we get more and more comfortable with the manifestations of the Spirit, when you're feeling prompted by God that you're supposed to exhort the church, you'll know that you will be able, that He, for whatever reason, in His choosing, in His timing, sovereignly chose you. I want you this morning to build up the body, to edify the body. It could be a sentence, it could be a paragraph, it doesn't matter. But that's what we've got to understand. It's Him, through His people, wanting to minister to His people. And that's what gets exciting, is when we understand it's not on us. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about us allowing God to work in His body, to His body. And it gets exciting. It gets very exciting. And also the truth is that Bob and I were talking, and probably... all of us have probably prophesied, and we didn't know that's what we were doing. You know how this happens when you're sitting there and you're having great conversation with someone, or you're in a small group and it's just really good, and then all of a sudden someone starts talking, and then it kind of it kicks in, and it's like, whoa, I mean, this is good, this is real good, and they're just sharing, and it's just flowing out of them, and it's nothing, you know, it's all scriptural, it's all good, and you're getting charged, you're getting fired. They're prophesying. They're speaking by inspiration, and that's what part of prophecy is, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there's a good chance that all of us have done that, and we just didn't call it prophecy. So it gets exciting. It gets real exciting. So where are we at Living Acts with all of this kind of stuff? And here's just a few questions for all of us to think about. Talking about this whole pendulum thing. Do I expect the Holy Spirit to manifest? If I don't even live with that expectation, I may be over here just kind of stuck. Do I desire to minister the gift of God that He's given me? If I don't really walk around and live and come to church or go to a small group or whenever I get to be with other believers, if I'm not living with this thought process, Father, I want to minister. I want to hang out. I want to fellowship. I want to socialize. I want to have a good time. I want all these things going on. But in me, Father, I realize that You've given me something for other people. And so do I live with that desire? And you know, Paul over and over, he says, earnestly desire the spirituals. Earnestly. Don't just desire. Earnestly desire them. I mean, God wants His people to be a part of this fellowship of believers, a part of this fellowship of the Spirit, where we are actively participating in God's work. Amen? Amen. So am I over here? Do I even think about God, You could possibly manifest? Do I desire to even minister a gift? Do I really understand and value all the gifts? And have I settled in this, what I call, Americanized Christianity? And this is all I simply mean. It's not, I don't want to come across as anything negative at all. I hope everything's going to be uplifting. But to go back with my experience for the last 40 years, there have been times because of the fellowship of the Spirit within myself and within believers where it was rich and healthy and encouraged and wanting to happen. And that was just the mindset. And those times in my life, it was great. I mean, it was really good stuff, solid, scriptural. And I have experienced, and this is a healthy church where when people start taking their steps more so in wanting to be a part of the fellowship of the Spirit, wanting to be part of this ministry of God's Spirit, that when someone steps out and say they fumble or say they kind of, you know, get off track a little bit, a healthy church, and we're going to look at it and show you, that a healthy church is no big deal. And no one feels condemned. And no one feels like, oh, I've messed up so bad I can never do that again. In fact, the Word teaches just the opposite. God wants His people so cultivating this stuff that when we come together again, everybody has something. It doesn't mean everybody's going to give it on any given day, but everybody has something, and everybody's anticipating, everybody's worshiping God, and everybody's come to hear the teaching of the Word, and everybody wants to see each other and be built up and blessed, but also everybody's saying, Lord, today, if it's Your will that I minister, I'm available. And that's what the body, that's the fellowship of the Spirit as a corporate body is supposed to be like. So thinking about ourselves individually in this church, where is this pendulum? Are we individually, are we up here? Are we kind of moving? Or maybe we're even over here? I don't know. I don't know. And I've had to really this week look at my own self. Where am I really with this stuff? What do I really believe in? And how do I minister? And do I minister the giftings of God freely in small group? Or if I were to come to church, do I believe God wanted me to minister to the body? Am I in that mindset? And so another question, do we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And that's another big question because this Americanized Christianity, that's just, again, in my experiences, like I said, some churches, some ministries, it was just alive. I mean, geez, it was alive. It was alive. The body was alive. The members were alive. The meetings were alive. And then I've been, you know, with churches and ministries at different times where the pendulum was more on this side. And so we got stuck, so to say, in this life together in our community where, well, we'll see each other. We'll hear the word. We'll serve, but that's about all we do. And so I've seen this pendulum in my life in different ministries, and that's what I've seen. The key is, where's the fellowship of the Spirit together? Are we more over here, or are we more over there? And as a corporate gathering, it makes the effect. It sets the stage. And so do we need the Holy Spirit's ministry? Well, just to remind you real quickly, in the Old Testament, anything that God did, it makes statements like, and the Spirit came upon him. When God ever wanted to do anything upon the earth, he had to, and he did it through his Spirit. And so even in the Old Testament, it shows the workings of the ministry of the Spirit, even upon the prophets or whoever, but it makes over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied or whatever. Whatever happened, whatever miracle happened, God was involved through his Spirit upon the earth. Now think about Jesus' life. Everything about Jesus' life, this is, you know, when he was conceived, Holy Spirit. When he was baptized at Jordan, Holy Spirit. And immediately after that, it says the Spirit led him to the wilderness. Jesus even made this comment, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. So he acknowledged, he knew the necessity of the Holy Spirit ministry upon his life. Acts says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil. So again, it's the same God, different aspects of their ministry, but everything about the life of Jesus is an example for us. He is our example about everything. And he knew about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he depended on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And even all the way, okay, birth, baptism, ministry, death. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was from beginning and continues. And that's an example for us. Okay, so Old Testament, Jesus' life. And then again, the disciples, before Pentecost, when Jesus sent the 12 out or he sent the 70 out, what did he do? He breathed upon them the Spirit. He didn't send them out without help. Right. You know, I mean, and there was a purpose behind all of this. And then, of course, the church began by waiting in Pentecost, and God poured out what's called the promise of the Father, and that began the birth of the church, and where God's believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And since that point, God's people have needed not only to know that they're born again by the Word and Spirit, but that the Spirit is truly in us, and active and powerful and equipping us to be about God's business, to be about missions, to be about edifying one another. It's all through the Word and the Spirit. So, talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In John 17, Jesus, he prayed, Father, make them one, right? And did you know that that has been accomplished? It's been accomplished by the Holy Spirit, because it says this in Corinthians 12, in one spirit we were baptized into one body, and we all were made to drink of one spirit. The reality is we are one. We are united in the Spirit. There's one body upon the earth, and we've been united by God's Spirit. And the reference is like we are the body of Christ. We're His habitat. We're a spiritual habitation, a spiritual dwelling place. It talks about that we're His temple, and it says that we're His house. So over and over, God is emphasizing in the Word, we have someone in us. It's powerful and it's strong to really get more and more of this understanding, revelation of who is in us and the purpose of why He's in us. Ezekiel 36, it was prophesied, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Once again, the Bible is showing that God's Spirit is in His people. This is what I want to look at real quickly about this whole temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church, are God's temple, His sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you, is at home in you collectively as a church and also individually?" That was out of the Amplified. But that's one verse of something about, do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And I want to point this out to you. In the Bible, the word temple, like all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's two specific words about the temple. One of the words about the temple always is referring to the outer courts or the porches. And that's how the Amplified puts it, porches and courts. You know, like where it talks about how Jesus was daily in the temple teaching? That's a specific word for temple. It's the outer part of the temple. Now, there's a second word in the Gospels that talk about temple. And it's the word that refers specifically about the central sanctuary. You know, in the temple, there's the outer court, the Holy of Holy, or the Holy Place, and the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where God's presence resided. Get this? Well, in the Gospels, it's so specific. It's so specific that when He's talking about the word temple, He's talking about the outer court and where people just kind of walk, move in and out, and do their praying and stuff. And then there's the temple where He's talking about the actual intimate sanctuary where God's presence resides. And also, Jesus talked about if you destroy this temple when He was talking about Himself, His body. That's the word that talks about the central sanctuary. Now, folks, in this scripture right here, know you not that you're the temple? Central sanctuary. It's God, by His word, is wanting us to get this. He's wanting His body to get this. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, He said, this inner sanctuary where God's very Spirit resides, it'll raise up. Know you not that you're that sanctuary? That's exactly where He resides? This power that raised Christ from the dead, that's where He resides, according to the Word. It's not the outer court or just the whole general idea, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit. No, He wants us to understand, in you dwells the Spirit of the living God. Now get this. When Jesus went to the temple to teach, like I said, that was just the general outer courts, the porches and everything. Jesus referred to Himself as the temple, being the central sanctuary. And remember when it says the veil of the temple was torn? Again, that temple, that veil is the veil that was to the Holy of Holies. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. And out came the power of the Holy Spirit, God's presence. And it's recorded where, I mean, people were raised from the dead in that moment in the Bible. And so, again, I'm wanting to get this. And God is wanting His people globally to really get who we are. We're not just saved. We're not just headed to heaven. We're not just being sanctified. We're not just supposed to be good people, moral people. We are the house of the living God. We are the temple, the central sanctuary of God's Spirit. And the more we get this and understand His full ministry, the more we're going to really enjoy this thing called the fellowship of the Spirit. Because in you is a gift of God, a gift of God by the Holy Spirit. In you is the opportunity that any given gathering, He could tap on your shoulder and say, I want to use you for other people. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that's in the body of Christ. And that's where we've got, in fact, get this, God wants us to rise up to our name, Living Acts. That's our name. That's our name, folks, Living Acts. And God wants all His people, because He's no respecter of persons. What I'm saying should be spoken and is spoken hopefully throughout the world to God's people, who we are in God. Okay, one more example about this whole temple thing. You know the story in Acts chapter 3 where there was a lame man daily. He would be laying by the gate beautiful, begging for money. And that temple is, of course, the outer courts. And this is after Pentecost. And so here comes, I believe, Peter and John, who now are the temple of the Holy Spirit, walking around the common temple. Are you getting the picture? So here's this man that's been begging for years and years and years, and he's wanting, you know, some money. And all of a sudden, here comes the temple of God in His presence, no longer behind the veil anymore. It's been rent and it's been poured out into God's people. And so in this scenario is someone in need of what's behind the veil. It's no longer behind the veil. And so they, as the temple, the central sanctuary, are able to minister to this man in a great way. He got, you know, a healing, a miracle. But that's, again, just the reality of what has happened. That we walk about, so to say, in the common temple as the temple of God. That's who we are. And so, again, wherever this pendulum is in our thinking, watch this. If it's over here still or mainly, God is wanting this thing to move. Move in our belief, move in our thinking, move in our living to get to a very healthy place to where we live knowing that the living God is in me, and by His Spirit I have a gift, and by His Spirit He can manifest through me and everything else that we read in the Bible. It's got to move from here to here. And here's another thing. When the pendulum does move, start moving, people get excited because this stuff is exciting. And when you start really seeing the body more active in this kind of stuff, which is what the body's supposed to be like, sometimes the pendulum will kind of swing. And that's okay. Because, again, a healthy church is going to be, all right, that's cool. That's cool. Let's get back over it. All right. Yes, we're here. We made it. We got it. We're walking, what the Bible says, in the Spirit. And that involves everything about the Spirit. Okay. You got your Bibles. Let's look real quickly at some of the verses that are real common. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 4. And it says this. I'll start at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. God wants these gifts being used. So let's look at these specific gifts He mentions here. Again, I know this is a common passage, but let's just dissect it just a little bit. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Again, speaking by inspiration. And there's a good chance that you all probably have prophesied to someone or in a group and that you just thought you were kind of charged up and excited. So prophecy is a gift written here. If service in our serving one another, who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts or encourages in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So those are specific gifts that are mentioned right there by the Holy Spirit, that according to this, everyone has some of this stuff. And God wants us to start moving. And look at this, folks. You may have say the gift of exhortation. That may just be in that word gift. It really is a joyous or a gracious joy gift. You kind of like to do it, and it actually feeds your spirit. It gives you joy when you minister. So in this fellowship of the Spirit, as we each begin more and more cultivating these gifts within ourselves and amongst each other, you're going to find joy in doing it, great joy in doing it. In fact, remember when Jesus said, it's my meat and drink to do the will of my Father? It actually fed him to be about the Father's business. That's what your gift will do for you. As you minister your gift, it actually will give you some godly satisfaction, some pleasure, some enjoyment, some joy, because you're participating in God, in the Spirit ministering, and you're giving freely. Because there again, the gift is not for you, it is for somebody else, it's for the body. And as we become more and more active in this stuff, it actually brings joy to the body, because members are finding their satisfaction in freely ministering their gifts. And so I want to say this, for anybody that at any time you felt like you've walked, so say, in your gifting, and you knew, and I mean, it just flowed, and you were in a place where, I mean, it was just happening. And now, for whatever reason, through time, you've kind of put it on the back burner. Well, I encourage you, let it be done. Let it be done. Minister to the body. Minister your gifting. That's why he gave it to you anyway. Let it be done. And then you'll find that the joy of it will start rising back up in you. Now let's look at a little bit more of some of the mystery of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to just read this again. And what I'm doing right now is I'm just hitting these scriptures that I know that we've all looked at, we've heard talked about, and we've all got to take it to prayer and ask God, give me clarity, give me understanding. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to just read a little bit. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans and you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one who can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are various varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And there again, that's the purpose of when God wants to do something, it's for the common good of his people. He wants to minister. He wants to do something to his body. He, as the head of the church, knows what the body needs. And by his Spirit, there are times that he chooses to do something that's not necessarily planned. And that's what this is all about. It's a manifestation. It's nothing whacked. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing weird. But it may be unfamiliar because we've let it stay on the shelf. But if we read this, he wants it for the common good. He knows what he wants to do. He knows if there's a person or if the whole body in general needs to be encouraged in some way or somehow. He knows what he's doing, and he wants to do it. And so God who empowers them in everyone, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now look at this list. It gets kind of crazy, but we just got to take it for what he says it is. "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." And that again is just the key, is If God wants to manifest, it's him wanting to do something, and he does it as he wills and through ever whom he wills. And that's where when we start getting to more of a healthy place, again, of walking in what I say is expectation. Oh, God, this morning, you could possibly do something that's not on our agenda, right. So to say. Right. And, oh, Lord, I want to be available if you decided to minister through me. And again, folks, we're going to be taking baby steps, and it's okay. But we've got to develop these giftings. And just to emphasize that you have a gift of God. In whatever, and it may be prophecy, it may be exhortation, it may be one of the verbal giftings. Or you have, he may choose you to do a manifestation, or him do a manifestation through you, and it could be a verbal manifestation or a power manifestation. All we've got to do is start learning and be willing, Lord, your will be done. You know what the church needs. You know what the body needs. You know what people need. We don't. You do. You're the head of the church. You know how to minister. And so what I'm trying to encourage all of us with this fellowship of the Spirit is getting to a place of at least we want it. We really want. Not that we just know about it or we refer to it, but God, do I expect it? Do I believe? Do I think that you could do something out of the ordinary? Okay. Again, the definition, and I'm going to wrap up here real quick. The definition of gift is a divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in the person's life, and it causes gratitude, joy, and pleasure. This gifting that you have is divine. It's from God, and it brings you joy and pleasure as you minister it. So to wrap some things up, folks, in summary, so to say, we are the temple. We are the central sanctuary of God. And I don't know about you, but I really want to get that. I want that to really grip me. We're born again, praise God. We've got a hope set above us, ahead of us, praise God. But we also are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got to get this. Individually and collectively. The Old Testament and the Gospels and the New Testament repeat over and over and over, it's God's Spirit working among people. Each one of us have been given at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests as he wills and through whom he chooses. These are just locking down some summary points. All through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, especially 14, I had a couple of conversations over the last couple of weeks. I really highly encourage you. I don't know what... Let's just talk about it for a second. Tongues. Read it. Read it carefully. In fact, I don't know anything about it. It's nothing to freak out about. It's nothing to be scared about. It's nothing that's weird even. I really encourage everybody to read 12, 13, 14 together several times, slowly. Over and over and over, Paul encourages the gifts. He encourages prophecy. He encourages speaking in tongues. He just gives place for both of them. Prophecy is for the edifying of the body because it's in a known tongue. In this place, it would be English. Tongues, however, he actually equally encourages for the believer, do it. Do it because it... Again, on your own time, just read it several times, not just 14, 12, 13, 14 together, and you will see that he encourages it because it builds you up. Praying in the Spirit several times, he makes it builds you up. He says prophecy builds the church up. That's why you don't do tongues corporately unless there's an interpreter. And again, I know we've all probably heard this stuff and it's been mentioned, but folks, please watch this again. We got to quit just referring to it and talking about it. Hello. Healthy place. Not crazy place. Healthy place. But folks, if we don't open up our faith or open up conversations or open up our prayer life and be like, God, I desire spiritual gifts. Pray for them. If we stay here, look at this. If we stay here, you know what? We'll never get here. Individually, and if a lot of us stay here corporately, it'll be slow moving. And I promise you, you know our leadership as much as I do, they're not going to let it go crazy. And we don't want it to go crazy. It's not going to happen here. But there is a health and a place and a ministry of the Holy Spirit that involves all of this stuff. Again, Paul, it was never don't or stop. It was always do, pursue, and desire, earnestly desire. Another summary point is we all need to see the value of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. We need to see it. We need to understand that he didn't just give something to lay dormant. It's purposeful. And that's what the beauty of the fellowship of the Spirit corporately. There's so much purpose in you. So much reason for your community with us. We need not just you as a person. We need the God in you. Well, however he may manifest or whatever gift he's given you, we need it. And so community is all about fellowship, hanging out, getting to know each other, it's all that stuff. And also ministering, learn to minister each other in the Spirit. And also, as we continue to see it is him who's working, moving, and speaking, we will respect the gifts and we will desire them. When we understand that this stuff is not, again, about us, we're just the temple, we're just the house, we're just the habitation. When we really understand God himself by his Spirit is in us, we actually can quench the Holy Spirit, right? And so that, all I'm saying for each of us, and some of us, and all of us to whatever degree that has been a part of ministering the Spirit, when you learn and feel the moving of the Holy Spirit for you, we got to take some steps. We got to start doing it. You know, we got to continue to start doing this. I remember I looked at Brendan. I remember different times where she stepped out, and Mandy, that one time when she gave her dream, there's just times when you feel like you're supposed to do something. We've got to cultivate these gifts, again, for the common good. God knows what he wants to say. God knows what he wants to minister. God knows who needs what. And as we develop this stuff, really, folks, expect and desire not only the gift, but to fine-tune the gift. I mean, to get really good at ministering. I want to get this stuff. I want to get this stuff. I want to get the fact that the Holy Spirit of God really is in this sanctuary, in this central place, just like Jesus called, again, Jesus referred to himself as the temple. He calls us the temple. It's the same Spirit. It's crazy. Okay, and to end it with this, how do we get there? How do we do this? Well, if we're born again and the Spirit of God is in us, guess what? We're there. We're there. It's just taking the steps, beginning. We're there. And what I want to say for all of us, and everything I say, I put me first. We're going to learn how bad we've been quenching him. We're going to see how much we've really hindered him. We're there. He said it. You're born again. My Spirit's in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the central sanctuary of my living Spirit. You're there. And when you come together collectively, you have fellowship of the Spirit. We're there. It's just now, it's like, one more time, getting from here, individually start moving towards, can you even begin to imagine collective gatherings? As we get free and healthy and stable and full of faith and operating, and sure, this is probably going to happen, don't sweat it. We'll get back here, you know. Right. And when we get in here, folks, can you imagine in the future what our gatherings, small groups, church, whatever, could be like? Because God wants to speak. He wants to minister. But he has one vehicle, his body. And so the body, the members collectively and individually have got to start allowing him to do this through them to one another. It's exciting. It's exciting. Okay, we need to move from the outer temple mentality to the inner temple mentality. We need to see, folks, we don't need to see. We come into this building. Let's just use this. We come to this. And again, if we're over here, we see this. Oh, this is where we hang out. We're going to hear great teaching most Sundays, all Sundays, hopefully. And we're going to see each other, and we're going to encourage one another. So it's almost like that's kind of like an outer temple mentality. We've got to get the inner sanctuary mentality. We've come together. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be here. He's in us, and he wants out. And it may be me today. It may be you that he wants out through. He wants that veil to be open, and you be the one that he says, I want you to minister. I want you to go ask and submit, can you say this? Can you exhort the church with this? I'm prompting you. So it's outer court mentality no longer, but the inner sanctuary temple mentality. We need to earnestly, how do we get there? We're there, but we need to desire this. Like Paul says in 14, desire, earnestly desire this stuff. We need to cultivate our fellowship with the Spirit individually. And folks, we just need to do it. We need to walk with God. And we all know there's times it's so dry, even like last Sunday, what was preached last Sunday, there are times where it's just not there. It's true. But in the long run, in the process, in the journey, we've got to cultivate walking with God. We've got to learn in our prayer closet that we do hear his voice, that he does minister to us, that we sense his presence. And then the more we do that individually, collectively, the powerhouse that can show up. And we need to take steps of faith in ministering our gifts. We need to start taking or continue to take steps. Small groups is a great place to do it. And I was really actually a little surprised when Brandon, if I didn't misunderstand him, mentioned the small percentage of people who attend small groups. I highly encourage you to get involved in one. The one I'm involved in, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. There's one tonight. There's one on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and then the women every other Thursday, Wednesday night. And that is going to be a good place and should be a safe place for us to start taking some steps and say, hey, you know what? I think I need to just encourage y'all with this. And then when you do that, someone might go, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I need to hear. Yeah. Bingo. Okay, that's how you do it. Top stuff. And then, another way, how do we get there? We're there, but we need to have the attitude, attend any meeting with the desire to minister. Show up. Say, Lord, I've been walking with you, and I'm here to hear your word. I'm here to worship you, but Lord, I want you to know, if you tap me on the shoulder this morning, I will, by faith, do what I think you want me to do. And we'll learn together. We'll learn together. Amen? So there's a fellowship in the Spirit that we have. We're there. We just need to start kind of operating. Getting alive and awakened to it. And, oh my gosh, what could come out of this stuff? What could come out of it is what God wants to do. That's what will come out of it, what God wants to do. And that's who we serve. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. And God, I just pray that, Lord, I want this. I do. You've given us yourself. Jesus, you died for us. You died for the lost. You died, and you said it was necessary for you to go the way so that you could send the promise of the Father. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are actually your residing place. We're your spiritual house. We are your habitation. And Father, I pray that this really gets in me deeper and gets in my brothers and sisters. I pray that we wake up, that you wake us up, that you bring revelation, Father. Your word says that we increase with the increase of God. We desperately desire to increase with your increase in this realm and in all things, Father. Lord, I believe that on the earth there's one vehicle called your body that you live in and that you work through. And I thank you that we're part of that. So, Father, I pray that you bless these men and women, minister, draw them, Holy Spirit, and that we first and foremost cultivate such a love for you, Jesus, such a love for your word, which is you, and that we learn to really submit and obey what we hear and what we learn from you. And in all that, Father, walking, just learning to walk with your Spirit. and to be a part of this beautiful, amazing, powerful work of God upon the earth that is missional. Your work is always missional. And as we move into these giftings and everything, Father, it's going to draw more and more missions desire in us and out of us. Be glorified, Jesus, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.